You are listening to the podcast of Lancaster Covenant Church. We seek to worship God, tell others about Jesus Christ, nurture new believers, and grow together in the knowledge and love of our Savior.
Holy. Please turn and greet one another this morning. Welcome to worship. Good to see everybody here today. I'm going to go through a few announcements, so if you want to open your bulletins, we're going to have a couple of folks come up after we get done. So, to begin with, on Monday, the Monday night study for men has stopped. We don't do that anymore, but we are doing Friday morning at 6 a.m., and we're making breakfast and inviting all men to come. This is the study here. It's called Stepping Up. It's by Dennis Rainey, and family life, it is really good. And so if you would like to come, please, 6 o'clock in the morning on Friday, every Friday, we'll go through the study. It's actually like a one-day seminar. it's probably going to take us 3 months, maybe. But Jesse Straig, he's not here. I don't think he's here today, but he said he started it, and he said it took 2 years, and they never finished. So he's coming again, and it's just a really good study. We were really teasing him about it, which is, he can take it. So, but it's a good study, stepping up. So please join us for the men on Friday mornings at 6 o'clock. Then Marriage Mentors are selling tickets for the Valentine's Banquet. Those of you that have heard about it, Lou is coming, and he is going to be our chef for that night. It's on February 12th at 5 o'clock. If you would like tickets, we have to have everything bought and lined up by the 31st so we can give Lou the number and he can get the meal, the food ordered. He's coming tomorrow to check out the kitchen. So there's the menu there. There's two choices. And if you'd like tickets, just see one of the Marriage Mentor couples. There's a poster out in the foyer. Julie.
Why don't we just have the Marriage Mentors over here stand up?
Okay, Marriage Mentors, would you stand up, please? We'll see how many are here. And I'm one too, so if you see any of those folks, ask them for tickets. And it would be really fun to just fill this place on February 12th. And that's at 5 o'clock. So see them today. Today's a good day to get tickets. Okay, there's a youth group ski trip, February 18th through the 20th. If you'd like to check that out, there's all kinds of activities. The cost is there. Let's see. And please contact Christy if you are interested. Is that right? I think so. Cost is $100. The way it looks, there's chapel. You'll be staying at Blue Water, but skiing Giants Ridge. And that's the 18th through the 20th. Also, February 19th, the Women's Ministry will be leading the worship service. Following the service, there will be a potluck meal, and Ida has a sign-up in the foyer for that as well. And also check that out. It says, if you are on Jordan's serving committee, please let her know if you are or if you are not able to be there. And then we are looking for ideas. I talked to Sherry about this. She would like some ideas about bulletin boards in both foyers. If you have any ideas, please let us know. There's also one in the fellowship hall that we had as our missionary bulletin board. Just looking for ideas of what we should do with them, what's the best way to communicate what's going on in not only our communities, but around the world. Okay, are there any other announcements this morning? Lisa. Okay, at the end of the service, if you are involved in the Women's Ministry Sunday, please meet up here. The pew that, the chairs that always remain empty. See that? Amazing. That was my jab. Women's Ministries, okay, after church. Shannon. That's right.
If you're not familiar with that, we were closely with the Pregnancy Health Center in Charles River, and it's an awesome place where they're reaching out to women that are pregnant and scared, and they're choosing life instead of an abortion, and so these bottles go to help pay for things there, but also supplying with blankets and cribs and diapers, and it's just a wonderful ministry to be part of, and I just feel like it's a very important thing to be teaching our children about, and when you put that baby bottle home and you start putting money inside of it, it really opens up great conversations to try to explain to them the horrible things that can happen to the unborn. And so if you guys would please take that, and it doesn't have to just be change. They get excited when there's a $100 bill wrapped up in
Absolutely. Thank you. So please pick up your baby bottles in the back today and fill them up and get them back. It's just an amazing outreach and incredible ministry. Thank you, Shannon. Peggy.
We were unable to have families on Wednesday.
Okay.
So we just don't have enough
help. Okay. Okay. That's fine, Peggy. It's a wonderful, just an amazing outreach to the kids. So there will be no Good News Club this Wednesday, but everything else will be going on as usual with confirmation and youth group, I believe. And okay, anything else, Faye?
Kathy Johnson and Betty worked real hard in the library. It looks great.
Yeah, they did.
Extra books and videos and everything sitting out in the loft in the foyer. So mm-hmm. Anybody, please pick them up and feel free and take them home and keep them. And we'll leave it there for a couple of weeks, and then the rest will be taken away for the Christmas.
Okay, thank you. I almost forgot about that. All the books that are in the foyer are ones that you can take home, CDs, I think, or might be some VCR tapes there too. Yep. Please check it out. Take them home. They'll be there for 2 weeks, and after that, they will disappear and never to return. But thank you, Betty and Kathy and Faye. I don't remember who else, if there was anyone else that came and helped, but the library looks great. So if you want to check out the library, it is orderly, and it's in categories. So it's really nice. Check it out and see if there's anything that you would like to check out. Thank you so much for doing that. It was a big job. Anything else this morning? Okay, then I'm going to have Lil come up first, if you would, Lil. And then we have one more wonderful young man coming up. It's great to have Lil here, isn't it? Let's give her a hand.
Yeah, well, I'm back.
Awesome.
And I want to thank the Wilsons and the Finneys and the Liebergs for getting me and all my stuff here. They come with a trailer. It didn't hold everything. So the poor pickup was about like this. But we got here, and I just want to say thank you. It's so good to be back home, back with friends and family and everything. So thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mel. It's good to have you home. Jim, if you'd want to come up. This is our wonderful young man that's going to share a little bit.
I am so grateful to this congregation and community for your continuous prayers for the past 6 months. When I attend here on Sunday, Dad is prayed for. And when I attend youth group on Wednesday nights, it never seems to be complete without him being prayed for. Concern was whether he should come home or not, and you prayed for this as well. Due to the praying without ceasing, Dad has been home nearly as long as he was in the hospital, and being home is working well for him and me. He seems very content, pain-free, and has a great appetite. However, he is immobile, speaks very little, and sleeps a lot. Each and every prayer, visit, call, or text is extremely valuable and penetrates directly into my heart. I praise God for his faithfulness and give him the glory and honor for everything. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that all that happens to us is working for our good if we love God and allow him into our plans."
Amen. Thank you, Jim. Thank you so much. Okay. Any other announcements? Anyone else? Okay, Renee, if you'd want to come up and the scripture, and is a cordless mic in the sound booth? I don't remember. It's up here. Okay.
Today's verse is from 1 Corinthians 13:1-3, and I'm going to read it from the Amplified version. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but not love for others, growing out of God's love for me, then I have become only a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. just an annoying distraction. And if I have the gift of prophecy, and I speak a new message from God to the people, and understand all mysteries, and possess all knowledge, and if I have all sufficient faith so that I can move mountains, but do not have love reaching out to others, I am nothing. If I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned, but do not have love, it does me no good at all. Do I have any prayer requests?
I know everyone has already heard, but I just wanted to give a praise report for our new little grandbaby, Luke and Britta's little Evie, Julianne. We just praise the Lord for her.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Peggy.
Roland is in the air right now, coming back to Kitson County, and his plans are undecided. What he's going to be doing, he's praying about whether he'll go back for a two-year commitment to YWAM. So I'd just love it if you guys would pray that he just have wisdom and know what God wants him to do. And then Eric and Rudy are traveling home from Texas, so I picked them up this evening.
Thank you, Shannon. Anyone else? Tom.
Yes, continued prayer for my wife, Glenda. They found a blood clot in her throat on the left side. And they're, I'm bringing her back on Monday for further test, and I don't know what it is or what they're going to do or why it developed or none of that. And then continued prayer for Scott. Joe's trying to come home again. And I thank you.
Thank you, Tom. We'll be praying.
Just prayer for our nation, our leaders, and the truth of God.
Anyone else for a request?
Hope up here.
Okay.
I don't like these things. I know. I just like to pray for Zoe. Keep him in your prayers. Next week he will be moving on into adulthood. He'll be moving over by Greenbush. So if we just keep him in his prayers, he'll be able to find a job and keep God by his side.
Thank you. We will be praying home. Anyone else? Any prayer requests? Beth.
I would like prayer for Eric and Nicole and their twins, please.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
What's happening? Can I ask?
They're expecting twins.
Oh, they're expecting twins.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
yes. It's going to be a busy house.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else? Is that me making noise?
I think so.
Okay, I have one more back here.
Just continued prayer for Floyd Zanner, who's suffering with cancer, and he broke a couple ribs when he fell.
Thank you. Any others? Okay.
Just continued prayer for Candace that has a tumor in her brain. They've given her a month to 3 months to live.
And Candace is your cousin? Yep. Okay. Thank you, John. Anything else? Okay.
Okay. I do have a letter here for an update on Charlene, who is the mother of twin boys under 1 year old. She has stage 4 colon cancer, which has spread to her liver. On Sunday, January 15th, her mother, Marilyn, said that all of her tumors have shrunken from chemotherapy. She needs 8 weeks without chemo before they can do surgery. Please pray that she will be able to have radiation soon to keep the tumors from growing. Pray that Sam and Charlene will have God's peace, and they have only been married three years and live in Winnipeg. Also pray for her respite worker who is in the hospital, 26 weeks pregnant with twins. Her parents, Mel and Marilyn, asked for prayer to be able to witness for Jesus as people on the street stopped to ask about Charlene.
Hey, Renee, I have a couple. Kay Varick.
Okay.
And also for Danae Bain, Trisha's sister.
Yep.
And then continue prayer for Jake.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's bow our heads, please. Father God, oh, you're so good to us and how much we love you. You provide for us and you care for us. You dance around with joy and singing. I just ask, Lord, that we can all feel your presence and not be so busy each day that we forget about you or deny you or don't take time to speak with you and talk with you. I just thank you for Jim's heart, Lord, and his letter that he wrote for us. We send all that love back to him, too. I thank you for his heart, for his dad, Lord, and how he is so sacrificial. I thank you for his heart for you, Lord, and how much he loves you. And I'm just so happy that he can feel that love and the presence that you provide for him every day. I pray for Jake, Lord, that you just grant him peace each day and being pain-free. Just surround him with your presence, Lord, and let him feel you. Just let him rest and just prepare his heart to ready to go home to you. I thank you for Evie Nordine, Lord, and just the miracle of babies, Lord. I thank you for Ryan Vig coming home, too, and for Jordan and Matt, and just such good news. I just can't wait to meet that little one and little Evie, too. I thank you for Roland and all his ministry that he has done around the world and just spreading the good news. I thank you that we get to see him again soon. I just pray, Lord, you just give him guidance and wisdom of what to do next and where to go and just to be in your will and follow wherever you lead, Lord. Just make that clear upon his heart. I thank you for the Finneys, too, and please bring Rudy and Eric home safely and just reunite them with their family. And I pray for good conversations on the road and just the fellowship of what they have with each other and the bond between a son and a father. I thank you for Glenda, Lord. I just pray that this blood clot in her neck will just be gone. I pray that the doctors won't see it tomorrow when they look for it. I just ask for a miracle in that. I thank you for bringing Scott Shostrand home. I just pray, Lord, that he won't be lonely, that he could have a family that would just surround him with love. I just pray, Lord, that you just keep him in your presence, Lord, and when he is lonely, that he can just feel you. I pray for all the leaders in our country, Lord. I pray for President Trump and the Congress and the Senate and the Democrats and the Republicans, and we are one nation under God, and I just pray, Lord, that each individual will know the truth of you and just to have the people be the priority, not themselves, so their greediness or whatever it may be, Lord, or pride, but just the hearts of the people and what is best for this nation. I thank you for Zoe and seeing him today. I ask, Lord, that you just guide him in this new chapter of his life. I ask that a job will be opened up for him, that he can be a witness to others. I pray, Lord, that when he doesn't know what to do, that he'll reach out and just every day to offer his day to you, Lord, and surrender it to you. Again, thank you for Eric and Nicole and the twins that are coming. I just pray for patience and peace, Lord, and love and just all those things, Lord. I just thank you for the gift of miracles once again and just have them come home and visit and have just, well, thank you, Lord, for the gift of babies. They're so lucky. I pray for Floyd Sanner, Lord. I just ask that you just help him repair his ribs and that they would heal completely, that the cancer will not continue to spread, Lord, but just stay and just take away his pain, Lord. I thank you for him every day and for what he does to our community. I thank you for today, too, and the positive feedback and how you've worked in her lungs this week, Lord. I thank you for bringing her home and for the power of prayer and for Trisha and how she gives us updates, and I just thank you for showing up big in that life of them and their family. I thank you for Kay Vierick too, and I just ask that you continue to heal her. I ask for people would just surround her with love and conversations, and just may she just bring her back home. And I thank you for her daughter who takes care of her. And I finally pray for Candace, Lord. I pray, Lord, that these months that she has to live, that she will be a witness to you, that she can feel you and your angels that surround her, that she can just not be scared or worried of what's to come, Lord, but just to be excited to come home to you. You're waiting for her to come, and I just thank you for her life. And Lord, I just pray for Charlene. I pray that the tumors will stop growing. I pray that the radiation will work. I pray for her respite care worker who was in the hospital. I just pray, Lord, that this her family will be a witness to you on the streets, and that they will be bold and have the courage and to speak your name out loud, and pray to open the hearts of the people, Lord. I thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Renee. If I could have the ushers come forward for the offering and the praise team come up. I'd also gotten a call from Joanna Cole this morning asking for no visitors. Actually, they're feeling like they should limit the visitors at the nursing home. She's not here today because she was working, and the one she was working with, there's a few of them that now have the flu, so they would like to just kind of quarantine that, please. Please, let's pray. Before we begin,
could I say something before we?
Yes, continue? Go ahead, John.
Doors need to be opened for me to witness to Candace. She doesn't know the Lord, and I have tried to call her, and I called her son, and he told me not to mention that to her. So I need the doors to be open so I can witness to her.
Okay. We'll pray about that now as well, John. Thank you. Let us pray. Father, we just thank you for today. We ask, Lord, that you would just bless this offering, Lord, that you would guide us, Lord, as we give. Father, that you would just take this, Lord, and bless it. Use it for your kingdom, Lord Jesus. Father, we lift up opportunity for John to speak truth into Candace's life as well, Lord, today. We pray that you'd prepare the way, Father, that you would just draw her to yourself, and that you would just lead John and give him wisdom. And Father, if he is to be that vessel, that you would use him. We pray now that you would guide us. Bless us, Lord, as we worship you. Amen. Please sing with us your name.
To touch your arm and glorify.
Cornerstone.
Word of God, speak. Let you pour out like Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day. We just thank you, Lord, that we can come here to worship you, Lord, and to just sit in quiet in your presence, Lord, with all the voices that are shouting all around us right now and all the lies and everything that's being said all over. We just ask you, Lord, to just please quiet our hearts. Help us to see what's true. Open our hearts to your love and your grace, Lord. We just ask you to just bless Galen's message, Lord, and I just pray that it gives us new life in our hearts and our days. And help us, Lord, as we leave here to be able to speak your truth into the world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Please be seated. Would you please pray with me before I begin? Father, we thank you, God, for your word. We thank you, God, that it is alive, that it is powerful, and that through reading it, God, for through studying and as your Holy Spirit works in us, Father, help us to grow in you, help us to hunger more for you. Change us, Lord, and just build in us, Lord Jesus, a trust, a desire for more of you every day. So, Lord, speak to us today, Lord, as we explore more of who you are and of your amazing love for us. We ask this now in your name. Amen. Well, I'm wondering how my challenge has gone to write a love letter from God to yourself. Everybody squirming? I like that. Not everybody, because I've seen some love letters. But I would encourage you that you would make that step, spend that time, press into him and write a love letter from God to you. I would just encourage you to do that today and in the days ahead. I read a story the other day from an author, her name is Jennifer Rothschild, that wrote about a little five-year-old boy named Connor. And it was so fitting that I thought I would start off with this for my message today. And the boy says, "Mom, do you have to write on my napkin?" That was five-year-old Connor's question after his first week of kindergarten. You see, every morning, Jennifer said, "I packed his lunch along with his juice box and peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. I would scribble 'I love you' on a napkin and stuck it in his Batman lunchbox. But now Connor didn't want me to do that anymore. 'I don't want you to write on my napkin anymore, Mom, because when I'm done with it,' Connor said, 'I feel like I'm throwing your love away.' 'Oh, Connor,' I said as I flung my arms around his little frame, 'just because you throw your napkin away doesn't mean that you throw away my love. My love is always there for you.' And Connor smiled in relief, and then he confessed, 'Mom, I really don't use the napkin anyway, because I didn't want to get it dirty.' And I would imagine if Connor were like me, I would have saved the napkin and wiped it on my sleeve anyway. As I thought about that little story and thought about that little boy's sensitive spirit, that sensitive heart for his mom and for her love for him, I wonder, do I take God casually? Do I take his love casually, or do I take it seriously? Do I look at what I've been given or the lunch that God prepares for me every single day with a note that he scribbles on my heart saying, 'I love you'? Do I just take that for granted? Or do I throw it away some days without thinking about God's heart and about what he does for me every single day? And in my not-so-grown-up mind, for those of you that know me, I wondered if God packed my lunch for me every morning, what he would put in it. And what would he scribble on my napkin? Well, as you probably know, we just finished a three-week series titled The Great Commandment, which Jesus said that we are to love the Lord our God with all our heart and with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength. And then included in those 3 weeks, we talked about loving ourselves and what that means. And we talked about loving our neighbor as ourselves, which Jesus described as the second greatest commandment. As I thought about how we just spent the last 3 weeks and I prayed about that, I thought it would be appropriate that we spend the next 3 weeks talking more in depth about what God's love is really like and what it really isn't like. So for the next 3 weeks, we're going to look at several scriptures, but centered somewhat around 1 Corinthians 13, as Renee read this morning, we're going to be looking at the whole chapter. And it was hard for me just to single out those first three verses, because I just wanted to give Renee more to, let's just read the chapter every Sunday. I thought, you know, we're going to concentrate on the first three this morning. And it speaks to us a great deal about this amazing thing called God's love. And so as an introduction now into the series that I would like to speak to you, that I feel God is leading us to, I'd like you to listen closely to another story by Pastor John Weiss from the book Jesus Prom. And I know that many of you have read it. John writes, "It was a Saturday morning when I lived in Haiti. That's when I went to the open market to buy my food for the week. I was standing in the middle of the street holding a bag filled with oranges and rice and beans. And that's when I saw him. It was as though a page had been torn right out of the National Geographic magazine. And then it was framed for me to stare at. His legs were disproportionate in size to the rest of his body. They were bent at angles unfamiliar to a healthy torso. His head was bowed in shame. But I could tell he was blind because his eyes never really fixed on me, but rather they just danced from side to side and they followed the noises around him. He was barely clothed and his body was caked with dust and dirt. His hair was matted down from sweat and flies had taken up residence on his skin. His hands were outstretched and he was holding a small bowl. He was begging. I watched as one person after another person passed by him, ignored him as if he were not even there. And then what I saw next touched my heart beyond what I could have ever imagined, because he pulled a small board from his bag and he placed it in the sewage that ran alongside the road. Blocking its flow, he did something that I wish I could scrub from my memory, John writes. For he placed his hands in the raw sewage and he began to sift and search as if looking for something of value. While living in Haiti, I had watched a woman drink from a mud puddle and I had caught two men eating garbage, but this was a new low. My heart broke and it scattered into pieces. I will not recover this side of heaven. I watched as this man pulled an old battery and he cleaned it as if it were a rare artifact missing from a prestigious museum. He slid it under his leg like someone might come looking for it. So with tears streaming down my cheeks, I knelt down in front of him, took his dirty hands, placed them on my face and said in Creole, my name is John and I want to be your friend. That's all I could get out. I couldn't talk, but he could, and he whispered to me, thank you. You see, as much as I needed him, or he needed me, I needed him. Love is never independent. Love is always dependent. Someone is always giving, someone's always receiving. The man goes on to say, when my parents realized that I was blind when I was a baby, my parents broke my legs so that I could beg and bring in money for our family. John goes on to say, I filled his empty bag with my bag full of food. I filled his pocket with my pocket full of money. You see, love empties itself because love emptied himself. That's what God did. I appreciate the thought that love, I've heard it before, love is a verb, love is an action. I believe we're called to that. And in the next weeks, we are going to look at love in three different aspects. As I looked at this chapter, I saw love as a value. And you'll see that in the first three verses. Love as a value. And then we're going to look at love as a virtue. And then we're going to look at love as victory. And so let's begin to explore what love is by looking at the value, or what I would call the preeminence of love, because preeminence to me, when I think of Paul and as he spoke about it, it was superior to everything. It was superior to whatever gifts that were given. In 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 3, I'll read it again. As Renee read, if I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but have not love, I am only a clanging gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames but have not love, I gain nothing. Do you hear the value? Do you hear the superiority of love in these three simple verses? Well, I'd like to just give you a few simple slides to give you what I call a mind picture for me. Because without love, this is what you get. This is like godly math. First of all, if I'm able to speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, it's worth nothing. It's like a clanging gong. The scripture says that without love, this gift is like a clanging gong or a clanging cymbal. And for those of you that are more experienced in age, you remember the gong show? I do. I didn't like it. Well, for those of you who are less experienced and have not seen it, it was from the 1970s. And imagine with me for a minute of a television show in which contestants that were judged, they'd come out, they'd either sing or they would dance. And if the judges didn't like it, what did they do? They would get up and hit the gong, and the girl was done. That was the end of the performance. Imagine the sound of the gong. Well, in my research, some scholars believe that the Apostle Paul was speaking here when it speaks of a noisy gong, of which he was talking about a large hollow bronze jar that were used for a way of amplifying sound in an amphitheater so people could hear. But these were large and they were hollow. The point these men were getting at is that without love, our words produce and only an empty sound coming from a hollow, lifeless vessel, just a big vessel with no life. Others believed, and I like this thought too, that Paul was referring to gongs that were used to worship pagan gods. They would beat on these gongs as worship to a pagan god. As I thought about that, I thought Paul could have been saying that without love, you're merely speaking to pagans. You're speaking as a pagan. To sum it up, the point Paul is making and that I'm trying to make this morning, that is, without love, it doesn't matter if you speak in the tongues of men or of angels, which is the language of worship, by the way. If it is without love, it has no value. So that's our first zero. And then what about the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries, but have not love, it equals nothing. And the next slide speaks of, if I have all knowledge, If you know so much about God's word, yet you have not love, it equals nothing. And if you have faith to move mountains but have not love, again, Paul says it equals nothing. What about if you give everything that you owe to the poor? If you do it without love, it equals nothing. And even if you surrender your body to the flames, if you die but have not love, it equals nothing. But then look at what you get. If one is a value, if love is a value, you take all of those things, you could say it's worth a million. It's worth something. That's the point I'm trying to make. It is worth something. It has some value. It has eternal value. This scripture does not say that all these gifts are bad, but it does say that without love, what good are they? What good are they? Why is love so important for any of these gifts to have any value? Those are the questions I'd like you to ask yourself. What is so important about this love that Paul is talking about? Why is it essential to give value to any of those other things and any of those gifts? Those are the questions that I pray that we will be hearing answers for in the next few weeks. I'd like to leave you with this truth that the Bible teaches us very clearly, that God is love. He's described as love. That's his character. When I think about God and his love for me as his child and what he thinks of me being a part of his family, even in the messes that I've made in my life, I get this image of a loving father. I get an image of a savior who loves me unconditionally and wants me to see that value of that love that he has for us. And so this is what we'll look at in the next 2 weeks, is what is God's love really like? And what isn't it like? And how do we know the value of love? How do we know the virtue of it, as we'll look at next week? And how will we know the victory of it? I'd like to close with just one of my favorite scripture verses. When I'm feeling kind of beaten down, discouraged, when I feel like maybe that God has maybe even forgotten. It's Zephaniah 3:17. I know many of you know it. But this verse brings me so much comfort, and I feel so loved when I read this. We have this on our wall at home. Our daughter Ashley made it. In this beautiful wall hanging, it says, "The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. And he will rejoice over you with singing." Isn't that just a beautiful picture of how God feels about you? I'd like you to think about this tomorrow morning. When you get out of bed, think of what kind of lunch God is going to pack for you. Think of all the favorite things that you just think that God would love to bless you with. And then think about that napkin. Think about the napkin that he says to you, "I love you." Would you have a hard time wiping your mouth with it and throwing it in the trash? Like Connor did. I would. Knowing me, I'd have them all folded and put away in a drawer in my office. Then I could pull them out as a reminder, but we've got that, don't we? It's called the Bible. It's called his love letter to us. There's nothing better than knowing God's love for us, that he loved us first. That while we were yet sinners, he died for us. So many times I think we get caught in putting trust in men. We get caught in putting trust in people in this world and thinking those are the people that will save us or bring us out of the trouble that we've gotten ourselves into. But there is only one that can do that. There is only one that we can trust that will deliver us. And his name is Jesus, right? I'd like to close by singing just that. Hymn number 289. Sing it loud. Sing it like you mean it. Sing it like you just had a lunch packed for you by God with a love letter from him. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Please stand. Hymn number 289. Sing out loud, please.
'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him and his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord.
Father, I just pray that you'd guide us, Lord, as we go from here. Help us, Lord, tomorrow to realize just more of your love for us. Help us to see, God, your plan for our life. as we trust in you, we just give our lives to you, and we ask, Lord, that you teach us how to love as you have loved us. We ask this, Lord, in your name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Lancaster Covenant Church podcast. For more information on gathering times and the Lancaster Covenant Church community, please visit our website at lancastercovenant.com.